It's good to be back with you again this evening. Glad that you're here. It's encouraging to see you once again, to be able to greet you and to exchange pleasantries and to be reacquainted once again. It's good to be here. Hopefully you've been encouraged by our worship up until this point, and that you will continue to be encouraged as we discuss some things that we find in God's Word that will help us in our life and our walk and trying to live and trying to please the God of heaven. And as you've already been encouraged by in the announcements, to at every opportunity that you might have to come back each night this week, Monday through Friday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to be discussing various people that we find described or mentioned to us in Scripture. Of course, tonight we're going to be talking about Israel crossing the Red Sea and their salvation from bondage and the likeness in which that has to our salvation from the bondage of sin. And we'll talk about and we'll discuss those things in just a moment. But I kind of want to quickly mention some of the things that we'll be talking about through the week in case you have friends or neighbors that aren't Christians that you would like to invite and to bring with you. Tomorrow night we're going to be talking about the rich young ruler and how he was initially, he was interested in the things that Jesus had to say, but it was one thing, and when called upon to sacrifice, or when asked what he needed to do, and the answer was given, and what was going to be required of him, he simply turned and walked away from Jesus. And so we're going to talk about him walking away tomorrow night, Lord willing. Tuesday night we're going to be talking about the zeal of Peter and how what we are told and what's described for us about his character is that he was always zealous to be with Jesus. Wednesday night, baby Moses and how he was saved from the Nile for a purpose and what our purpose is as those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thursday night we're going to talk about, the plan is to talk about Jonah, how he was saved by repentance, and then on Friday night, that of Naaman, and how he was saved by his obedience to God. And so hopefully if you have an opportunity, you'll be able to come and look forward to coming and joining us in those series of Bible discussions that we will have throughout the week. Crossing the Red Sea, it is an event that tells a story of redemption and salvation. The Hebrew nation of Israel, now numbering about 600,000, not counting women and children, they are enslaved by Egypt, and they are forced to work for the Egyptians in building cities and otherwise being oppressed. And we are able to read and to come to understand and learn how it is that the Pharaoh, he was trying to stifle the growth of God's people, and he incorporated many tactics in order to suppress them and to oppress them and to try to keep them from growing into a great people. And we find that in every scheme that he created to stifle their growth, that it always failed. And then there is Moses, who we read chose to be numbered with the people of God, and he is raised up by God Himself, and it is Moses that comes announcing that God wants His people to be free. And of course, we know how things progress, how it went. Pharaoh he stubbornly refuses to comply with that. And so after 9 miraculous plagues, God delivers the nation of Israel through Moses. And at the last plague, finally we see that Pharaoh relents, and when the firstborn is struck down, and then Pharaoh releases Israel. And we are told in the text how the Lord goes before them by day in a pillar or a cloud, and by night in a pillar of fire. And we find that, and we're told how Israel, they are approaching the Red Sea. And at their approachment of the Red Sea, Pharaoh changes his mind, and he sets out with his army. He's going to bring them back into captivity. And whenever the Israelites, they saw the Egyptian army, they become afraid and they complain to Moses. And they, in their mind, they believe that bondage in Egypt, was better than death in the wilderness. But we are told that Moses had a greater faith in God than they did. And in Exodus chapter 14 and in verse 13, the text tells us that Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever." And so Moses tells them, and in their moment of doubt, in their moment of regret for leaving where they had been, and they had faced this awful suppression or oppression, and they had cried out unto the Lord, and it is the Lord that heard their cry. And we find them in a tight spot, in a trying situation, and now they are regretting their decision for wanting to leave. Because they can only think that the oppression, if they are recaptured, if they have to return to Egypt, it was only going to be worse for them this time than it was the first time. And Moses tells them, Moses assures them, God is going to destroy the Egyptians. You're not going back into captivity. I mean, after all, look at the things that God has done for us up until this point. It took those 10 awful plagues upon the Egyptians to get Pharaoh to agree to let the people go. It was a cloud by day and fire by night, and God's protection and guidance. Do you think for a moment that He did all of that just to let you go back into captivity? And so Moses says, just wait and watch and be patient and see the power of the Lord. And God instructs Moses to stretch His rod over the Red Sea, and He would divide it. And then the children of Israel, they would march through on dry ground. The Egyptians' hearts were hardened. And because of their hardness of heart, they were going to pursue the Israelites, and they were going to be destroyed. And it's in that way that God would be glorified in the Egyptians. And as their backs are against the sea, we're told of how the cloud that had been leading the Israelites had moved behind them to separate them from the Egyptians. And Moses did as God commanded, and this strong east wind came and it divided the waters. And after Israel crossed, we're told Pharaoh and his army, they followed. And we're told how God caused the wheels to fall off of their chariots. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and God caused those separated waters to come together again, destroying the Egyptian army. And they all died. Man and horse. And in the words of the Scripture, it says not even one of them remained. In chapter 14, I'm getting ahead of myself here. There we are. It says that the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, not so much as one of them remained. And so what Moses said to comfort the Israelites is exactly what God did. Moses says, be still and wait on the Lord. In a trying and difficult, in a hopeless looking situation, don't lose hope. Don't lose your faith. don't lose your trust in the God of heaven. He is the one that is guiding us. He is the one that is leading us. He is the one that will save us. And that indeed He did. In this manner, the Lord saved His people and He destroyed their enemies. And so water became the dividing line between bondage and freedom. And we notice how that the same water that provided salvation to the Israelites, it brought destruction to the Egyptians. Just as in the flood, God used the same water to divide those who were being saved from those who were being destroyed. And when we look at the account that we are told of Jonah, in all reality, he should have perished in the sea. But we read how God heard his cry, prepared this great fish to deliver him from certain death. And how it was that Moses should have perished there in the Nile, along with all those other small male children of Egypt. But he was rescued. He was saved. He was saved in order to serve and to obey God. And the Apostle Paul uses interesting language to refer to this event in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 1 and verse 2. And he says, "Moreover, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea, were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Moses led the Hebrews out of slavery to Egypt. Jesus leads us out of slavery to sin. And so here we see one of many types between Moses and Jesus. Throughout the wanderings of Israel, Moses remained a foreshadowing of Jesus as a leader, as a mediator. And once they crossed the Red Sea, they only had one choice of survival. And that choice of survival was to unite under the leadership of Moses. Turning back to Egypt, that was no longer an option. The power of Egypt's hold over them had been effectually destroyed. And now they are one body. They are one body with Moses as the head. Israel's baptism separated them from the bond of Egyptian slavery. Just as baptism in the name of Jesus separates one from sin and brings them under the authority of Jesus Christ. The Exodus from Egypt, though a real historical event, it prefigures the saving work of Christ for His people. What God did through Moses was to provide physical salvation from physical slavery. And what God does through Christ is provide spiritual salvation from spiritual slavery. The Israelites, they were slaves in Israel. But we are slaves to sin. As Jesus tells the Pharisees in John chapter 8, there in verse 34 and also in verse 36, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." In verse 36, "So if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed." Sin places us in bondage. A transgression of God's law, a going against of God's law, that places us in bondage to sin. A bondage that is cruel. A bondage that prevents salvation. In order to have salvation, we must come out of that bondage. And it is through Christ that we can be set free. Just as the Israelites were baptized into Moses in order to be made free, So too, we are baptized into Christ in order that we might be made free. We find these words in Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and in verse 4. Don't you know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. This is what Paul says is necessary, what the Word of God says is required of us, that we must be buried with Him through baptism into death, that like He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. It is in that watery grave that God promises to remove our sin. It is in that watery grave that we come in contact with the blood, precious blood of His Son, to have our sins washed away, to be released from that bondage and that slavery to sin. The parting of the Red Sea, it not only finalized God's redemption of His people from slavery in Egypt, but it prefigured the greater spiritual reality of God's redemption of His people from slavery to sin through the work of Christ. The Scriptures teach that all have sinned, that we're all in need of salvation, that sin is a missing of the mark, and all have missed the mark. In Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23 tells us, and we're familiar with the passage, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 8 and verse 10, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, in verse 10, we make Him a liar and the Word is not in us. So, it includes me. I'm included in that. You are included in that. Our ancestors are included in that. Our parents are included in that. The consequence of sin, of missing the mark, is being separated from God. It's eternal death. That's what the passage teaches us in Romans 6 and verse 23. That's the wages of sin. It's death, that eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through God's love, through God's grace, He's granted each of us an opportunity. He granted each of us an opportunity to contact the precious blood of His Son and to be forgiven of our sins, to come out of that bondage, that slavery to sin, in order to be a servant of His. It's by His love and His grace that He has given each of us an opportunity that we do not deserve. An opportunity to be saved from past sins and through faithfulness be able to be with Him for all of eternity. We mentioned the verse this morning in Revelation 2 and in verse 10 and the Christians at Smyrna. They're told about the things that they're about to suffer. The devil's going to cast some of them into prison. And you're going to be tested. There's going to be tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death and I will give you a crown of life. That gift of a crown of life was going to be granted if and only if they were faithful even unto the point of death. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. And he says that crown, that imperishable, undefiled inheritance that will not fade, he says that's reserved for you. That's reserved for you. But in order to have that, we must come out of bondage to sin. and in bondage to Christ, in the servitude of our Savior. God has provided us with the means by which we can be saved. This means is the blood of His sinless Son. And Romans chapter 5 and in verse 9, much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. He said, we are justified by His blood. We can be made right by His blood. We can become just by His blood, forgiven by His blood. And the way that we do that, He goes on in chapter 6 of the book of Romans in verse 17, and it is required that we must obey from the heart the form of doctrine that which has been delivered unto you. We must obey from the heart the commands of the Lord in order to be justified by the blood of Christ, to be saved from the wrath of God, to come out of that bondage to sin. Ephesians 1 and verse 7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. So redemption is found in His blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses is found in His blood, through His blood. And we contact that blood of Christ when we are buried with Him in the likeness of His death. We're baptized into His death. We contact His blood. We find redemption. We find justification. We find salvation. We find freedom from the bondage of sin. The only thing that can be done to atone for man's sin was to provide a perfect, sinless sacrifice, which was His only Son. And the Scripture tells us in John 3 and in verse 16 that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. The one who truly believes in Christ as the Son of God, they will obey God in all things. They're not going to question God. They're not going to try to excuse the things that God has commanded that is necessary for us to do in order to contact the blood of Christ and find forgiveness of sins and be made free from the bondage of sin. But if we truly believe in Christ, we're going to obey nothing more, nothing less, and nothing else. The truth of the matter is, there is no salvation from sin apart from the blood of Christ. The Hebrew writer tells us in chapter 9 and verse 22, according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of Christ's blood upon the cross, we would certainly have no hope. Chapter 26 and verse 28 of Matthew, Jesus says, this is the blood of My covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And we find, and we read about, we're told about in God's Word, how Christ was smitten and He was beaten and He was crowned with thorns. He had to carry His own cross. He was spit on. He was mocked. He was deserted. He was nailed to a piece of wood. He was pierced and He bled and He died, and He didn't have to do any of it. Through His suffering, He tasted the pain and the anguish that we deserved. Isaiah 53 and verse 5 says, He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon Him, and by His scourging, we are healed. He offered Himself. He offered Himself once, and then He entered into the holy place. He entered into heaven to appear before God for us. And God graciously offers salvation through His Son. Titus chapter 2 and in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation, it has appeared to all men." In saving Israel, God did His part to bring about their deliverance. We are told how God heard the cry of His people. In Exodus chapter 3 and in verse 7, the Lord said there, "I have surely seen the oppression of My people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." And so God recognized, God knew, God heard what they were going through. And in order to initiate their deliverance, in order to hear their cry, to bring them out of the things that they were suffering, the bondage that they found themselves in, He heard their cry, and then He chooses Moses to deliver the message and to lead them out of that oppression. In verse 9, in verse 10, "Therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to Me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them." In verse 10, "Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring My people and the children of Israel out of Egypt." And so He heard their cry, He chose a deliverer for them, and then He brings about the plagues on Egypt that brought about their release. And it was God that turned the water into blood. It was God that sent the frogs and the lice and the flies and the disease and the boils and the hail and the locusts and the darkness. It was God that brought about the death of their firstborn. It was God that led them by day and directed them by night. It was God that protected them as they crossed the sea and caused the wheels to fall off of the Egyptian chariots. It was God that separated the waters. And not only did He separate the waters, but He released them to consume their enemies, the Egyptians. God did all of that to deliver them from bondage. But their deliverance was only going to be had if they did their part. Because even though God did all of this, they still had to listen to Moses and to Aaron. In Exodus chapter 13 and verses 3 and verse 4, Moses said to the people, "Remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib." They had to listen. They had to prepare to leave, and they had to flee whenever the time came. They are the ones that had to step out on that dry seabed and cross the Red Sea. Because the fact of the matter is, if they didn't do that, if they didn't do those things, they would have remained in their bondage. They would have remained in the oppression that they cried out so much to be relieved of. And just in a similar way, in like manner, God has done His part for our salvation as well. God has given us His Son. Jesus has given us He's gave us His blood. It is shed as a ransom for many. Matthew 20 and in verse 28. The Holy Spirit is revealed unto us the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus promises His disciples that they would be guided into all truth upon His departure, that the Comforter was going to come. They were going to be guided into all truth by the Spirit of truth. And the gospel of Christ is a gospel that it must be preached. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and verse 20, Jesus tells His disciples there to go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So God has done our part in saving us, in bringing about salvation from the bondage of sin, just like He did His part in Israel's salvation from Egyptian bondage. God has done His part for us as well. And we must do the will of the Father that is taught in the gospel in order to receive the salvation that is made available by God through Christ. We find Jesus told His disciples, you go and you teach, and in teaching you baptize them and by and with the authority of God, and then you teach them some more. You teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so His commission is to go and to teach, convert, and then teach them to obey all things. Under the old covenant, one was physically born into a covenant relationship. And on the eighth day, the males were circumcised as a sign, and then they were taught the law later. Under the new law, the new covenant, one must obey the commands found in the gospel in order to enter into a covenant relationship with God and receive the salvation made possible by the blood of Christ. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith, our faith, can only come from God's Word. And if there's no Word, there can be no faith. Saving faith comes from God's Word. And when the Word of God is heard, when it's heard, when it falls on good and honest soil, it produces faith in the heart of the sinner. Faith in Christ as the Son of God. And Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And this faith that comes from hearing God's Word and believing in Christ leads one to confess Him. As Paul says in Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith leads to that confessing Christ as God's Son, and in believing in Christ as God's Son. And the faith that comes from hearing God's Word leads one to turn from their sin, to have a desire to obey God and to live a life that is pleasing unto Him. That's what those on the day of Pentecost ask in Acts chapter 2. Upon being convicted in their heart by the Word of God, coming to realize they have crucified the Christ, the Son of the living God, what shall we do? It was Peter that told him to repent and be baptized, to turn and obey the Lord. It was Jesus that said in Mark 16 and verse 16 that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not is going to be condemned. One reaches the blood of Christ when they're born again. It's like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that one must be born of water and of the Spirit. When the Word is planted in the heart, leading to faith and repentance and obedience, one is born of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, by one Spirit are you baptized into one body. It is the Holy Spirit that gave us the Word. And when the Word is planted in our hearts and we obey it, we are born of the Spirit. When one is buried with Christ in baptism, they are born of water. And Jesus says that's what one must do. Have you obeyed heaven's commands tonight? Or are you still in bondage to sin? Because you should know that you can be set free. John 8, verse 31 and verse 32, Jesus said to the Jews that believed on Him, if, we find a condition there, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. The only way they were going to be the true disciples of Christ is if they continued or abided or lived in His Word. And upon living in His Word, they were going to know the truth, and the truth would make them free. Galatians 5 and in verse 1, for freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Have you been set free, but entangled again? Do you enjoy the freedom that God offers us through Christ, His Son? Galatians 3, 26 and 27 tells us how to get into Christ and be made free by His precious blood. We're all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you obeyed God's Word tonight? If not, the truth is that you're still in bondage to sin. You haven't been set free. And God has provided what we need in order to be set free. So why deny yourself the freedom that is available by God through Christ? Why not be set free? It's so simple. To become a Christian, to become a child of God, God didn't make it too difficult. God simply commanded the things that are necessary of us in order to become His children, to have our sins removed. It's not up to us to question God's method, but it's up to us to obey it. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the gospel, would you come while we stand and sing the song?